Our scripture this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Our song of meditation is number 581, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. And the children may leave for Kid Connection during this hymn.
Wanted to join with Connor there. I had never ceased to be amazed at our choir. I realized there were five people singing, and they were singing three different, you know, parts there. Thank you, choir, for all that you do, and Jim and Mary Lou. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. In Staromeské náměstí, which is the old town square in Prague, there is a statue of the Czech reformer Jan Hus, who was burned at the stake for heresy because he spoke out against some of the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church at that time. As he was being burned to death, he was refused a final plea to renounce his faith. And his last words were, "What I taught with my lips, I seal with my blood." There is a major difference between involvement and commitment. Think about bacon and eggs. I love bacon and eggs. I'm sure a lot of you do. When it comes to the eggs, the hen is involved. But when it comes to the bacon, the pig is committed. So what is our commitment? And to whom are we committed? Do you know what the letters DTR stand for? These letters can strike fear in the heart of a young man's heart that's involved in a relationship. And many men are so afraid of this that they will terminate a relationship when they sense the DTR talk is imminent. This stands for define the relationship. You know, every relationship comes to that point where they have to kind of talk about, well, what is this? Where are we going? Is this casual? Are we just friends? Or are we committed to this? It's important to define a relationship, and how much one is committed to that relationship determines how they feel about the DTR talk. Well, this morning, we're going to have a DTR talk because I want you to define your commitment to Jesus Christ and His church. We may feel uncomfortable about that talk, or anxious about. We might have a fight or flight response because we might like the current arrangement we have. We like having something to do on Sunday mornings. We want a relationship with Jesus with all the benefits, but no strings attached. Where we can connect with Jesus, but He doesn't mess with our lives. We want to be a fan of Jesus, but not really a follower. In the passage that Pam read for us, Jesus says, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." As we read through the Gospels, we're constantly seeing Jesus putting people in a position of having to choose. You know, crowds followed him everywhere he went, and he would stop and preach and teach to them. And every time, whatever he said was something to determine who were his fans and who were his followers. Unfortunately, we have many Christians who gather in churches on Sunday mornings like a stadium full of fans rather than a community of followers. They may wear the cross, but they don't bear the cross. Or we come to church and we sing the songs and we read the Bible and we go home and we have grace before meals, but it doesn't necessarily make us committed followers. One time a pastor got a message on the church answer machine that one of the members said he wanted to be removed from the membership list because he didn't like the pastor's sermons. Well, the pastor decided to call him, and the man answered the phone and said, "Ah, this is Pastor Joe. I understand that you want to be removed from the membership list because you don't like my sermons." Well, you can imagine, it kind of caught the guy off guard, and he kind of hemmed and hawed and stumbled over his words. And, you know, and finally he said, "Well, sometimes whenever I listen to your sermons, I just get the feeling that you're trying to interfere with my life." Now, the man did not mean that as a compliment, but the pastor took it as one. It's kind of part of the job description. The call of Jesus on our lives should interfere with our lives. And sermons should present that in such a way that we want to follow Jesus. It's only when we allow Jesus to interfere will we truly experience real life. Jesus didn't come to make us nice people. He didn't come just to tweak our personalities or smooth out the rough edges. He wants total transformation and commitment. The objective of the gospel is to turn your life upside down. In that passage that Pam read, we saw three people who were potential followers, but turned out to be just fans. And what kept them from fully committing to Jesus is sometimes what keeps us from committing to him. We see fan number one in verse 57. He says to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Did you hear that? Wherever. You know, without reservation. Now, this same story can be found in the Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew tells us that this individual was a scribe. That means he was a leading pillar of the community. And Jesus replies to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We might say, what? Why did Jesus respond that way? Well, this was his way of asking this very stable, established man if he could handle homelessness and insecurity and instability and disestablishment. How would a man who belonged to the leading law firm of that day handle being an itinerant follower? How could one who was so much at home with the Torah and the law deal with the radically new way that Jesus was reinterpreting it? And basically, Jesus was saying to this guy, if you join this group, you will have less stability than the creatures of the air and the land. Your bed will be the ground, your pillow will be the clothes that you carry with you, your roof will be the sky. Are you sure you can follow like this? This person had not thought it through. To follow Jesus meant sharing his homelessness and his rejection. Could he do that? The call of Jesus is in direct conflict to our desire to be comfortable. We are by nature comfort seekers. We even talk about our comfort zones. I'm sure you'll remember the ad. It was really popular a few years ago at Christmas time, and I think you still see it once in a while, for Snuggies. The first time I saw that ad, I thought, well, who would ever buy something like that? But the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, that's a really neat idea. You know, it's like a blanket with sleeves. You don't even have to pull your arm out from underneath the blanket to use the remote. But then the more I thought about it, I thought, wait a minute. I think I already have one of these. Isn't a Snuggie just a robe that you wear backwards? Many people don't follow Jesus. They follow comfort. They have made comfort their God. But there's nothing comfortable about the call to follow Jesus. This man spoke words of commitment. We heard them. Wherever you go. But when Jesus painted a picture for him of what it might be like, this man backed off. Many people make the decision to believe in Jesus, but they never commit to him. And we need to ask ourselves, is my relationship with Jesus one of convenience or commitment? A few years ago, there was a segment on MSNBC on the new vegetarians. And they interviewed a young woman, Christy Pug, 28 years old, who said, I usually eat vegetarian, but I really like bacon. And this represented a growing number of people called flexitarians. Most of the time, they eat vegetarian, but once in a while, they make an exception. And Christy says, you know, I like vegetarian food, but I'm not 100% committed. I think flexitarian is a good way to describe many people's commitment to a lot of things in life today. They're committed until it's inconvenient and uncomfortable. So when the special is filet mignon, their commitments can be adjusted. And unfortunately, many Christians approach their commitment to Jesus this way. I really like Jesus, but I don't want to serve the poor. I really want to follow Jesus, but don't ask me to forgive that person that hurt me, and don't ask me to release anger or bitterness. I want to follow Jesus, but don't ask me to come to Sunday school or Bible study or help lead in worship or serve on one of our ministry boards or our outreach. We may wear the name Christian, but then we pick and choose the teachings that we're going to follow as if it's a buffet where we can take what looks good and don't worry about the rest. Verse 59, we meet fan number two, and this time Jesus says to that individual, "Follow me." And the guy replies, "Well, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus' response is, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Well, first we think this is awfully cold of Jesus. Surely he could pause long enough for a funeral and somebody to bury their father. But there's a hitch here, because family customs in that culture stipulated that a son had responsibility for and to his father as long as his father was living. And then when his father died, the son had to arrange all the funeral arrangements and take care of all those details. Well, in this case, there was no funeral procession because there was no corpse. More than likely, this man's father was still living. He was putting Jesus off by saying, "Well, I need to stay, and when my father finally dies and I take care of all the things that I need to do, then I'll commit myself to you and what you want me to do." In other words, "I want to follow you, I really do, but not now. It's just not a good time right now." We treat our relationship with Jesus like the diet that we keep meaning to start. A friend sent me an email a couple of weeks ago. She said, "I really need to go on a diet, and I'm going to go on one as soon as I eat this chocolate cake that I just made." We do that to Jesus. "First, let me go and do what I want to do." We put him off like we put off going to the gym. "I'll start being committed tomorrow, or when I get out of college, or when I get married, or when the kids are older, or when I'm an empty nester, or when I'm retired." Jesus does want his followers to count the cost. He doesn't want us to waste our lives without making up our minds. So what's holding you back? Your excuses may seem legitimate, but Jesus says the time is now. And the longer you wait, the less likely you are to ever fully commit to him. Fan number three says in verse 61, "I'll follow you, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family." Well, again, this seems like a very logical request and something that Jesus, you know, could do. You know, it couldn't take very long, but time was not the issue here. Jesus knew that the issue was his inability to commit. We hear two telling words, "but first." And Jesus replied, "No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back. It's fit for service in the kingdom of God." Plows in that day had one handle, and so it took the farmer's full attention. And Jesus is saying that the plow point has been set and that the team has been signaled to go. And as with ancient plows, it really takes full attention. Jesus is not looking for half-hearted followers. Following him is not a part-time option. He has no interest in Sunday Christians who are always looking back, wondering what they're missing or second-guessing their decisions. This is not a time to look back, but to look square ahead for what is to come. We need to forget the excuses. We need to commit ourselves to follow where Christ is leading us. There was a young man who dedicated himself to this upside-down way of Jesus. And he became active in his church, and he even stopped working on Sunday. As a single dad, he wanted to be there on Sunday mornings to model going to worship to his children. And even though finances were tight, he tied to the church, and his needs were always met. One day he came to his pastor and he asked his pastor if he would meet with his mother. And the pastor said, sure. He figured that she wanted to talk with him about the positive things that she had seen in her son's life. But the pastor was wrong. She was angry at him and she was angry at the church. She was upset because she said, "My son has taken all of this too far." She was upset that he was spending so much time at church, that he always wanted to pray before family meal gatherings, that he always wanted to talk about the sermon, and she was really upset that he was giving some of his hard-earned money to the church. And she said, "You need to tell him that the Bible teaches everything in moderation. He's taken this too far, and he needs to understand that it doesn't have to be all or nothing." Well, Jesus does say it's all or nothing, but it's your choice. He didn't say everything in moderation, but he said if anyone would come after me, he or she must deny himself, take up his or her cross daily, and follow me. The invitation hasn't changed. Did you notice that word, anyone? It's all inclusive. Anyone means everyone. Anyone means me, and anyone means you. We're called to follow Jesus, but it includes responsibility, which involves commitment. We as individuals and as a church cannot fully realize all that God has for us and all the ways that he wants to use us unless and until we allow Jesus to turn our lives upside down. The DTR question of the day is, are you a fan or are you a follower? Let us pray. Lord, you have called us out of our comfort zones. You have called us to follow you in ways that we might not want to do. That we commit ourselves to you, to let you change our lives so that we can change the world for you. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." It's number 451. We'll sing all the verses. 451, "I Have Decided." From 1 Kings, we read, "May your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands." Gracious God, take our hands which have held that which you have blessed and worked through them. Take our lips which have tasted your body and speak through them. Take our bodies, which have received your spirit, and take our minds and mold them that our thoughts may be your thoughts. And take our hearts and fill them with your love, that we may truly be committed and truly serve you in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Go now to be a follower.